We'll now hear argument in Illinois against Cabalas. General Madigan.
Thank you, Justice Stevens, and may it please the Court. This Court has made clear on several occasions, including 21 years ago in Place and 4 years ago in Edmond, that a sniff by a drug detection dog is not a Fourth Amendment search. And if something is neither a search nor a seizure, then it requires no Fourth Amendment justification.
Well, we've held that it's certainly not a full-blown search. It's not a search in the classic sense. But a Terry stop isn't an arrest in the classic sense either. We have said that that is a kind of seizure. I think your argument assumes that there's, so for purposes of search analogies, that something is either a full-dress search or it's not a search at all. Why isn't there a possibility of a kind of middle ground on searches just as there is on seizures?
Well, this Court made clear in Arizona versus Hicks that it did not want to go down the road of creating something known as a quasi-search so that courts and police officers would be in the position of trying to determine whether or not something was a search or not.
I can just imagine the problems, but I mean, what's bothering me about the case is that if we persist in saying that there's an either and or question with no possible gradation, then I assume nothing prevents the police from taking the dogs through every municipal garage in the United States, and I suppose there's nothing that prevents the police from taking the dogs up to any homeowner's door, ringing the bell, and seeing if the dog gets a sniff of something when the door is opened. We're opening rather a large vista for dog intrusions, and that's what's bothering me. Why should we open that vista if there is a possibility of a middle ground that would prevent it?
Well, I would start with the reality that dog sniffs, by their very nature, as this Court recognized in both Place and Edmond, are very unique, both in terms of the manner in which the sniff is conducted, as well as the content of the information that the sniff reveals, so that a dog sniff is only going to be able to reveal the presence or absence of contraband. And this Court has recognized that individuals have no privacy interest in the possession of contraband.
Does that imply that your answer is yes to the question? If we say, as you urge, a dog sniff is not a search, then the police are free to parade up and down every street in the country with dogs sniffing car trunks.
Yes, because a sniff is not a search, a police officer would be able to take a narcotics detection dog down the street with him or her. I can tell you that because of the limited resources, and this is a point brought up in the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police amicus brief, that is not likely to occur. In addition, I can also tell you that in the state of Illinois, the Illinois State Police do not train their dogs, nor do they use their dogs on people. They only use them on objects. But yes, in answer to both of your questions, because a dog sniff does not constitute a search, dogs could be used to walk down streets. They could hypothetically be used in parking lots, and at times they are used.
They are used. I mean, we don't have to make it up. From cases we've had here, we know that they're used at places like bus depots to sniff luggage that passengers are carried through on buses.
Yes, and they are.
The Republic seems to have survived.
One
could
characterize those episodes under the, quote, special needs doctrine. I mean, we are exposed to searches at airports that we would not put up with walking up and down an ordinary street. So the dogs at the terminals, one expects nowadays.
No, these aren't sniffs for explosives. These are sniffs for drugs. And these are not buses that are coming in from France. They're coming in from one American city to another. And there's no more need in that case than there was in this case. It was just a good place to find criminals who were carrying unlawful drugs.
In the present case, Mr. Cabalas was traveling from Las Vegas, Nevada, apparently on his way to Chicago, Illinois. He was pulled over for speeding. Another officer overheard when Master Sergeant Gillette called in to dispatch that he effectively...
May I interrupt General Madigan at that? He was pulled over for speeding at 71 miles an hour in a 65 miles zone on I-80, right?
That is correct, Justice Stevens.
Did they know in advance that he was someone to look for? Because I don't imagine you arrest everybody on I-80 that goes 70 miles an hour. I've done it many times myself.
Inadvertently.
We always like to have you in Illinois. Obviously, the Illinois State Police have the ability to pull somebody over, whether they're going 1 mile over the speed limit or 26 miles over the speed limit. But there is nothing in the record to indicate that they were looking for Mr. Cabalas as he was traveling eastbound on I-80 towards Chicago.
Does the record tell us what time of day it was?
Yes, it was approximately 5:10 p.m.
Thank you.
You answered one of the earlier questions about the possible intrusiveness of dogs everywhere by saying, well, you don't have a privacy interest in contraband, but that's never true. I mean, you don't have a privacy interest in the murder victim's body, but you have to have a warrant to go in and get it. So that just doesn't work unless I miss something.
You do not have a privacy interest in contraband, as this Court has recognized in the Jacobson case.
Yeah, but you have a privacy interest in your person and in your place, and that's what we're talking about. So that seems to me that that's just — doesn't help us.
Well, there is a distinction that's made in terms of Fourth Amendment protections that are given to homes and people versus cars. Ever since the Carroll case, it has been recognized that a warrantless search of a car can be done.
But that's because of the nature of the place being searched, not because of the nature of what you're searching for.
Correct.
Not necessarily.
The fact that you don't have a privacy interest in contraband doesn't seem to me. I don't think you need that argument.
I think you should use it.
I plan on continuing to use it.
Why do you are you sure that Kylo, imaging case would have come out the same way if the only thing that the imaging could pick out is not any of the other private activities in the home, but the only thing it could possibly discern is a dead body with a knife through the heart? Are you sure the case would have come out the same way? I'm not at all sure.
I would hope the case would come out differently then.
Do you have any authority for that other than Justice Scalia's speculation about how his Kylo case might have been written?
What about a house and the use of a dog to sniff around a door access or a house just because the police think, it's possible this is somebody growing marijuana in the basement or something? Is that all right?
I would argue that, yes, it is all right to walk a dog around a house, but then as just...
How do you reconcile that with the heat sensor case then?
The thermal imager that was used in the Kylo case was able to reveal intimate details of the house. A dog sniff is only going to reveal the presence or absence of contraband. And because of that, that's where we suddenly get into the tension between Kylo and place.
What if the dogs get a little more sophisticated in the future, can also smell a certain kind of perfume or something like that? Would then the whole analysis change?
Well, then you would end up in a situation as to whether or not an officer had probable cause when a dog, in fact, alerted. If it was alerting to the presence of perfume as opposed to narcotics, there would
be... How would you know whether the dog — I don't think the dog alerts as I'm alerting for one reason or another. He just alerts.
Well, they're very well-trained dogs. In fact, in the state of Illinois, the dogs and their handlers go through 320 hours of training, and they're specifically trained to only alert to narcotics.
I just learned this morning that some very well-trained dogs that are trained to alert for explosives will also alert for certain kinds of tire or rubber in a tire. They didn't realize that, and I think it's entirely possible that dogs would — there'll be false alerts by dogs because it's triggered by something that is not really anticipated.
One of the things that does take place during the train of these narcotics detection dogs is to make sure that they are not alerting to things that are not narcotics, or I don't know exactly how the explosive training is conducted because we don't train our dogs in Illinois for explosives, but they purposely train them on narcotics not to alert to plastic wrap that is frequently the container used for narcotics.
So you would agree the analysis would be different if there could be an innocent cause of the alert as well as the contraband being the cause of the alert?
It depends. The analysis would be different if the dog was known to or had been trained to actually alert to non-contraband.
Or if that happened a large percentage of the time. I mean, surely you'd concede that the search is unreasonable if for every one time make somebody open his bag because the dog actually smells narcotics. 99 times you make somebody open his bag because he has apples in them. I mean, wouldn't that go to the reasonableness of?
Well, it would actually go to whether or not that dog's alert provided probable cause to conduct.
Well, do we don't have the probable cause question before us, do we?
You do not have the probable cause question before you. This dog was determined to be reliable by the trial court and the Illinois appellate court, and it was not part of the Illinois Supreme Court's decision.
So what, again, in your view, is the best distinction from Kylo?
Two things. One, the thermal imager used in Kylo was able to reveal intimate details that individuals
like
do
what?
Have.
Like what? I thought it was just heat.
Yeah.
There was some disagreement on the court about exactly what it revealed, but in terms of intimate details, it then allowed somebody.
Excuse me, what details? It is a device that measures heat.
Because it could measure heat, it could also potentially determine when somebody was taking a bath, taking a sauna, and doing other intimate things in the house.
I think there was a reference to my lady's bath in the opinion.
As I recall.
What was the second?
The second one would be the distinction between houses and cars and the protections that houses are given under the Fourth Amendment, which are far greater than the protections that people have in
the
cars.
You think if this were a house that the Kylo case would apply?
If this were a house in this situation, it would certainly bring up the tension between Kylo and place.
Wasn't the court was worried about in Kylo not just the relatively crude heat imaging that existed in the case before it, but the prospect of more and more sophisticated heat imaging, which we had evidence was already in development that would enable you to see people moving around a room. I thought the case referred to that. Now, are we going to have more and more what's going to happen with dogs? I can't imagine that this thing is going anywhere other than smelling narcotics and smelling bombs.
Well, but you would argue that the same rationale should apply. If instead of using dogs, you had some sophisticated device that would buzz or ring a bell or something whenever the odor of narcotics was present, wouldn't you?
I would argue that. So if there was an ability to create a mechanical dog, for instance, we would again say that the use of a mechanical dog sniff would not be a search and therefore would not.
There's nothing magical about the fact that it's an animal rather than a sophisticated device. It has better detection capacity than a human being does. That's the only difference.
You are correct.
In discussing the answer to the Kylo issue, you've placed an emphasis on the protection given to a house. Would you go back to Justice O'Connor's question and my earlier example? Is it still your answer that the police can walk dogs around the foundation of the house or take a dog to the front door and ring the bell and see what it sniffs when the door is opened? Without there being a search and hence no Fourth Amendment concern?
Yes, Justice Souter, I would say that that is possible because the sniff itself is not a search, and it only reveals the presence or absence of contraband, which is something that an individual does not have privacy expectations.
Okay, but then there is no significance in the house.
There is potentially significance in the house.
Well, when does it occur? I mean, If first you say the house is a matter of significance for Kylo analysis, we're trying to draw a distinction, if there is one, between Kylo and this, and you say they can go to the house, they can sniff the foundations, they can go to the front door, et cetera, I don't see that the house, in fact, is functioning as a distinction at all.
This court's precedents have shown us that, in fact, Fourth Amendment protections are higher in the home.
Well, I realize that, but it seems to me your basic argument, if I understand it, is there is simply no search here. And because there is no search here, it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with a house or a parking lot or a car on the road. No search is no search. So for purposes of — if I want to understand your case, and as I understand it, for purposes of your case, there is no significance in the house because there doesn't have to be. The question doesn't arise because there's no search. Is that
— Justice Souter, that is absolutely correct.
Okay.
A search, as far as we are concerned, and I believe it's based on the precedents of this court, is a sniff is not a search, and therefore it requires no Fourth Amendment justification.
You said there's no disturbance of one's privacy, and so that distinguishes the dog sniff from some other governmental intrusions. But dogs can be frightening, humiliating. It seems to me that there is some association with the idea that I have a right to be let alone by my government, and having a large dog circle my car.
There are, in this country, millions of dogs. Many of the types of dogs that are used by narcotics detection teams, such as Labrador Retrievers and Shepherds, are identical to the pets that people own. We encounter them in the parks, on the streets, and I would contend that an officer cannot be in a position of making a determination as to whether or not the individual that he encounters is going to be frightened by the dog. Mr. Justice Stevens, if I may, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time.
Save your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Ray.
Justice Stevens, and may it please the court, there's no dispute that respondent here was lawfully stopped based on probable cause. There's also no dispute that the entire stop took less than 9 minutes. The question is whether a second officer's use of a drug dog to sniff outside of that car during those 9 minutes required some separate Fourth Amendment justification.
Do you agree with General Madigan that it doesn't make any difference whether the dog is a mechanical instrument or not? You really think it makes no difference? I thought that one of the points in the imaging case was that this was a new technology which didn't exist, and that although the ordinary rules in 1791 was that there was no search unless you enter the house or unless you physically intrude upon the person's, at least the person's, clothes. We made an exception to that rule because of this new technology that enabled you to find out things without having to intrude into the home or into the person. Now, but this is not a new technology. This is a dog. And they had that ability in 1791 just as they had it today. And the rule that when there's no intrusion, there's no search, there's no reason to depart from that rule with respect to a dog, although there would be with respect to some sophisticated new technology that it would enable you to find out all sorts of things.
That's correct.
It seems to me you shouldn't assume that the fact that this is a canine makes no difference.
You're going to rely on the fact that dogs were trained for do this sort of thing back in the 18th century?
I'm going to rely on three distinctions between this case and Kylo, Justice Stevens. The first is that the three points that the court looked at in Kylo were, one, as has already been referenced, the fact that it's a home, the most sacred place under the Fourth Amendment. Second, that it revealed certain intimate details. And third, that that was a technology.
It was potentially revealed, did not actually reveal any details.
As General Madigan referenced, there is obviously some disagreement within the court on that issue, but the fact was that the technology in Kylo revealed information about heat in the house, which could be thought to reveal intimate details about the house. The third point in Kylo, which I think Justice Scalia is referring to, is that that was technology that was not in general public use. Dogs have been used by law enforcement across the country since place and before to sniff everything.
But not in 1790.
Did you come here?
Don't know that, do you?
Did you come here having researched all about dogs in 1790?
Justice Kennedy, I cannot, I regret to say, tell you what dogs were doing in 1790. I can tell you, and this is maybe a factual thing that might be of interest to the court, that the dogs who are trained to alert, to detect things, it's not that they are sniffing things that all dogs can't already smell. It's rather that they are trained to let the handler know that they've smelt whatever it is they've been trained to smell. So the smells that are coming out of Respondent Cabalas's car are exposed to...
Do you really think this would be a different case if the officer had a device that did exactly what the dog did?
Our position would still be, Justice Stevens, that as long as the device only revealed, as this does, the absence or presence of contraband, it would still be constitutional.
Why do you rely on in distinguishing, Kyla, why do you rely on the house if there's no search? Why do you have to rely on the fact that there was a house involved there? You listed that as one of your three distinctions.
We don't believe we have to rely on it, Justice Souter. We do believe that there were three things that were important in Kylo. The fact that it was a home was one of those things. The fact of a home, the fact that it was technology not in general public use.
That didn't go to whether it was a search or seizure. I think it goes to whether it was an unreasonable search or seizure. Don't you think so? That what might be unreasonable with respect to a home would not be unreasonable with respect to a suitcase?
Yes, Justice Scalia, that's correct.
But your position is it, I understand it to be your position that there simply is no search here, period.
That is correct, Justice Scalia.
It's because it's a dog sniff.
We would submit this as not a search because, as this court recognized in both Place and Edmund, and the Jacobson case is also significant because the court said that the reason this is not a search, they're using the dog sniff by analogy, is because it compromises no legitimate privacy interest. The language of the court in Place is significant because it says that we are aware of no other investigative procedure that is so limited in both the manner in which the information is obtained and in the content of the information revealed. That language goes not only to why it's not a Fourth Amendment search, but why the use of the dog sniff during a probable cause traffic stop here, where it doesn't prolong the duration, does not transform an otherwise lawful seizure into an unlawful.
All right, but do you think it's reasonable to say that if the police take dogs simply onto private property to sniff the foundations of houses, if they take dogs to the front door and ring the bell so that they hope the door will open, that there is no compromise of a privacy interest?
Well, there would be a question as to whether the officer, the human officer, that is, could be on private property. I take it from your hypothetical, Justice Souter, in the first place. But
the Fourth Amendment analysis after Katz doesn't depend on trespass. And you have said up to this point that there is no search. And then you have quite rightly said that we have had as a consideration in our minds analytically whether it's fair to say that what the police were doing involved any compromise of a privacy interest. So I'm assuming, that the police can at least get to the foundation with the dog, and they can certainly walk up to the front door and ring the bell. And if they do that with a dog for the purpose of letting the dog sniff and alert if there's anything to alert to, is it fair to say that there is no compromise of the privacy interests of the people who own the house?
Our position would be the answer to that question is yes. The court does not have to resolve that issue to decide this case.
Of course, we could separate the home from from what happened here and still validate the search here if we held that it was a search but was a reasonable one, since all you find is that the person was carrying contraband. It's the only thing that's disclosed. Whereas if you did the same thing with regard to a house, which is a more sacrosanct part of one's privacy, it might be an unreasonable search. We could reach that result if we wanted to, couldn't we?
I think you could, Justice Scalia. Yeah. It's important to distinguish.
On the other hand, if it were a drug-selling neighborhood or around a park where drugs are frequently sold, would it be legitimate, in your view, for the police to take drug-sniffing dogs and walk around the public street where cars are parked around that known drug-selling area and see if they could sniff out some contraband in the cars? Is that okay?
We believe it would be okay, Justice O'Connor. It would be important not to use the dogs in a way to constitute a new seizure, because in that case, you're not talking—
I'm assuming parked cars. You haven't interrupted anybody. Nobody's in the car, parked on a public street.
In that instance, we believe that would be acceptable under the Fourth Amendment.
So you give no significance to the fact that this dog sniff was in the course of a lawful stop, where the citizens' rights had already been curtailed to a significant extent?
We believe, Justice Kennedy, that that context here makes this an even easier case under the Fourth Amendment. That is, the dog sniff not being a search, compromising no legitimate privacy interest during the course of a lawful probable cause stop, which we know from Atwater the officer could have simply placed the woman under full custodial arrest and taken her down to jail, was not an activity that transformed the seizure into an unlawful one. The Illinois Supreme Court's concern, where we think they got off track, was that they were concerned that the use of the dog sniff during this 9-minute traffic stop was that it transformed it. It used the language that it transformed the sniff into a drug investigation. We would submit that the Fourth Amendment is about the reasonableness of searches and seizures and not about what the scope of the government's investigation is. And in that sense, the court got off track. This is a means that law enforcement has been using properly in reliance on this court's decision in place, reinforced just 4 years ago in Edmond, for more than 21 years to detect everything from drugs to bombs to smuggled. We have beagles in the airports that smuggle produce that's being smuggled in. Dogs are used all over the country with great effectiveness in law enforcement. And that is a technique that we want to encourage law enforcement to.
Are there any manuals for law enforcement officers with respect to the time and place of using dogs? Or it's just open season?
Justice Ginsburg, there is extensive training of law enforcement to use dogs. It's a multi-week program.
I don't mean the training to make the dog alert properly. How the police will use them, when, under what circumstances?
Justice Ginsburg, each agency has different policies about when they use dogs and what purpose they're trained for. In this case, as you heard, they're being used in the context of highway interdiction, and so they're trained to sniff around vehicles specifically.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Ray. Mr. Metchik.
Justice Stevens, and may it please the Court, the State does not offer any Fourth Amendment justification whatsoever for dog sniff in this case. It argues instead that there is no need for any justification, and that is incorrect for two reasons. The dog sniff in this case invaded a Fourth Amendment interest of Mr. Cabalas in the context of a routine traffic search. The sniff in this case was, in fact, a search. Albeit it was a limited intrusion, it was still a search nonetheless.
Why do you say that? I mean, is anything that I observe a search? I mean, suppose I'm a policeman and I'm looking out for, I don't know, people with a nervous tic, because I think that that might be somebody who's about to commit a crime or has committed a crime. Have I searched that person because I observe something external?
Any observation, I think...
Is there no difference between an investigation and a search?
There is, in this case, see if I understand you correctly.
No, it seems to me your brief and your statement here both seem to assume that there's a search
whenever the police investigate.
Well,
but that's not so. One can investigate without searching.
Well, if I understand your question correctly, if you're looking for someone with that nervous tic, that would be something in open view or plain view. That's not the type of investigation I'm talking about. There is, in fact, most respectfully, an investigation technique here. There's an investigation measure.
What about a policeman who smells marijuana coming out of a car or a residence? He's walking down the street, public street, and he smells marijuana.
The only way I can analogize that, Justice Kennedy, is that that is akin to a plain smell or plain view.
All right, so once you say that, you realize that there are billions and billions of searches that go on every day that the police don't have to justify at all. They just look around.
I don't have.
There are billions of them. So the real question is, do they have to give a justification for this? And the argument that they don't is simply that it's not in the person's house. When you go out in a public place, even in your car, you might run into people or animals with sharp noses. And a lot of them can detect marijuana. And, you know, maybe it's a Limburger cheese. I don't know. But people are sniffing things that they don't sniff through windows into your house, but they do get odors in your car on the street. So this is the kind of search. Yes, it's a search, but one that the police don't have to justify.
But this is with a specific investigative tool.
Well, it's a specific investigative tool when I put on my glasses to look through a window.
Well, this is
— I don't see why it has to — why that matters. If, in fact, if you go into a car, a police car, and you have drive through the neighborhood and look around, you are using a specific investigative tool, the police car, to look around and find out what's going on.
This is a far more, most respectfully, this is a far more sophisticated investigation.
Where I'm trying to get you, no, in my own mind, it's not a question of the tools. It's a question of the expectation of privacy.
Then maybe I can see if I can answer your question. Mr. Cabalas, in this case, indeed had an expectation of privacy. When he was asked by the police officer in this case if he can consent to the search, he said no. He did not want that law enforcement officer looking
at him. Yeah, but both Place and Edmund, opinions from this court, said sniffs are not searches.
Well,
you want us to reverse that?
Justice O'Connor, I do not want you to reverse Place. Place, no pun intended.
Well, and Edmund also said it's not a search.
Well, there
was the stop of the cars in that case that caused the result.
The way I understand Place, it was contextually limited. In Place, the whole purpose of the seizure, the taking of the luggage, was to submit it to a drug detection sniff. That is the opinion authored by Your Honor that specifically stated, I'm not going to say took for granted, but it specifically stated that the context, and that's what we have to look at Place.
Fine. We had a context there where we supported it, but in the process said the dog sniff was not a search.
Well,
So you want us to say something else here?
Well, I think that first in that case in Place, the court.
Context here was a legitimate traffic stop.
But it was, unlike Place, the legitimate traffic stop here was completely unrelated to the purpose of the dog sniff. There was an absolute
dog sniff is not a search. What difference does it make?
Well, again, I would, again, respectfully assert that the dog sniff is a search. And the way Place was decided, first the decision had to be made. In the context of that case, what was worse? What were they going to do with the luggage? Were they going to open the luggage first? So, of course, the court had to decide in that case that it wasn't that kind of a search. It wasn't as egregious a search as actually opening the luggage. Then
the trunk of the car didn't have to be opened here.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
The trunk of the vehicle did not have to be opened here. You're talking about a dog sniffing on the exterior of a vehicle that was legitimately stopped for a traffic violation.
Again, in this context, unlike in Place, there was absolutely no relationship between the dog sniff and the dog sniff of Cabalas' trunk and the sniff of the luggage that was placed at LaGuardia Airport in Place. There's a great distinction. Moreover,
suppose a policeman follows me around. He just follows me around, observing with plain eyes, nothing else. Is that a search? Does he need probable cause to do that? Now, he's wasting his time and he's wasting public money, and maybe he should get fired for doing it if he has no reason to follow me.
It's not a search.
And maybe I'd have a harassment action against him if he does it blatantly. But is that a search?
It is not a search.
If okay. So the mere fact that one is investigating something doesn't make it a search. What does make it a search?
Well,
the fact that you find out something?
I think here the most distinctive point here is that Cabalas had already been stopped, unlike the hypothetical that you just presented to me. Cabalas was already stopped for probable cause. There's no question about that. But then now the police launch into a wholly unrelated investigation.
You think it would be better if he hadn't been stopped? If they just randomly walked up to somebody who was going through a toll booth and had the dog sniff the car, you think that would be a better case?
I think
for allowing it than yours?
Even in that case, even in a hypothetical where they used a dog for a toll booth, I have a problem with that. That, to me, is a search. It's different than, I would assert, it's different than if they walked, one of the hypotheticals that the justices asked my adversary in this case, when they asked, well, what if they walked the dog instead around a parked cars or parked cars at a stadium? It depends for what purpose they want to walk that dog around those parked cars. My assertion is
it's to find out if there's any contraband.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
The answer was they are at liberty, the police are at liberty to use dogs to find contraband. And the Illinois, I think, was very candid with the court in saying, we have taken from your decisions that a dog sniff is not a search. So anything else is a matter of police policy. It had nothing to do with the Fourth Amendment.
Well, I strongly differ. I have to look at the purpose that they are going to use the dog for.
Does it matter if, for instance, in today's world on Capitol Hill, we're concerned about terrorist attacks? What if the dog is trained to alert to explosives? Now, can the police just decide they're going to sniff any car that's parked on Capitol Hill?
Justice O'Connor, it depends on the purpose.
Yes or no, in your view. The purpose is to disclose potential explosives in a parked vehicle.
The answer is yes. I have no problem whatsoever.
Wherever it is.
Wherever it is, because I look at it as a public safety exception. And this court, in the Edmund case, specifically condemned a general search, a general crime. Let me use the exact words. General interest in crime control, to quote the Edmund case.
And Edmund, I still want to go back to my question because I think you may have an answer to it. And I want to focus.
I'm struggling, yes.
I want to focus you on the question. I think what you're doing, which is a reasonable thing to do, but it isn't my approach, look to the English definition of search. I say forget that. Let's look to the Fourth Amendment because there are a whole range of searches that don't even fall within the Fourth Amendment in the sense that we don't need a justification. And I take place as saying that dog sniffs is one of those, whether it does or doesn't use the word English search. So I want to know why it is that this dog search is one of the ones that's a Fourth Amendment search, i.e., one of the ones that requires a justification in terms of what the Fourth Amendment is about, privacy.
It invades a private space that in this particular case, the respondent, Cabalas, had a privacy interest in, that he wanted to exclude the whole world from going inside his trunk. That's the difference.
Yes, but you don't respond to one point in place, if I remember correctly. It must be a legitimate expectation of privacy, and if the only thing the dog can detect is something illegitimate, how can you say there's an invasion of a legitimate expectation in privacy?
Well, it's true that one does not have an expectation of privacy in contraband. But by the same token, I have an expectation, or Mr. Cabalas had an expectation of privacy of what's inside that closed trunk, his car. The Carroll Doctrine is still good law. We still apply the Fourth Amendment in cars. It's true that the home is sacrosanct, but just because it's a home, it's not a talisman where the Fourth Amendment no longer applies.
There was something you said in your brief that I thought was unclear, so may I ask you,
of course,
if Officer Gillette, the one who did the arrest for speeding, had a dog in the back of his car instead of having the second officer come with the dog, would it have been permissible? I thought you had conceded that it would be a different situation if the dog was already there when the car stopped.
First of all, Justice Ginsburg, my recollection is that Trooper Gillette, who was the officer who stopped Cabalas, did not have a dog in the car.
No, he didn't, but I'm asking you to imagine that he did.
I see. If he had a dog in the car and the dog just happened to have alerted without his cueing the dog or walking the dog, and I'll answer that in a moment, too, that would be pure serendipity. That might happen if the dog just happened to have alerted. But if the troopers deliberately drove the car close by, and in reality that's not what happened.
I would like to take this scenario as it is, except that when the officer gets out of the car, his dog comes with him.
Okay.
It's very — make no other changes except that Gillette has the dog, and Gillette with the dog go to Mr. Cabalas' car.
My understanding of the way this works, Justice Ginsburg, is that he just couldn't go up to the car without — and the dog would alert. My understanding of the way these dogs are trained is that they specifically — that the officer has to walk the dog around the car, the vehicle, first of all.
He does that.
Well, he does that.
He does that.
Yeah, in this case.
He does that.
Right.
To cue the dog. In other words, to tell me it's not playtime anymore, that he has to work.
Right.
Trigger something in the canine brain.
Right.
Would it be bad?
Would it be bad if that's what he did?
It wouldn't be bad. That's what. Well, yes, in this case, it's very bad because it's a search. There's no question. I'm not coming off of that.
I'm trying to understand what you meant in your brief when you said if the dog had been in Gillette's car when Gillette stopped Cabalas, the situation would have been different.
I think what I meant there would have been, it would have been purely happenstance, almost like plain view. It would have been, without him even cueing the dog or starting to walk the dog around, my answer to that, Justice Ginsburg, is that that would have been all right. Except now that the more I think about it, I'm not so sure that it would be all right. My answer to, and the reason for that is, I think in that case, the officer, if he could do such a thing and a dog would alert, would be exploiting the situation, would just be taking the dog and walking him around the car and saying that the dog alerted. So in other words, there'd be, I think, an exploitation of the traffic.
So then it really makes no difference whether it was Gillette who had the dog in his car or whether the dispatcher called another officer who had the dog.
That is correct.
It doesn't. So you're retracting that. You, I think, were asked, but I'm not sure you fully answered. Suppose the police, as Atwater would allow, made a full arrest of Cabalas, and then they impound his car in the place where they put it. Couldn't they have a dog go around the car there?
Yes. If we had an Atwater situation, in this case there wasn't an Atwater situation because there was first a warning given. You're correct. There was a warning given. I'm sorry. The officer, Gillette, told Cabalas that he's only given him a warning. So unlike the...
But he could have. I mean,
he could have, but
beating
he didn't. But he didn't. He didn't. Instead, he chose to treat this as more of a Knowles situation. This case is on all fours, no pun intended, like Knowles. In other words, in Knowles versus Iowa, the court that case at this — I'm sorry. Let me untwist my tongue. In Knowles versus Iowa, you had a traffic stop, and after the traffic stop, there was a statute that said, unrelated to the traffic stop, you can go in and search. And this is the same thing. This officer here, Gillette, treated Cabalas as the officer in Knowles in Iowa and treated Mr. Knowles in Iowa. It's the exact same thing.
No, but the difficulty that I have with that argument is take the case of the arrestable offense, in which it is undoubtedly the case that although the police don't normally arrest, they can. If I understand your argument, you're saying if they in fact do arrest, They may then take the dog around the car, and indeed, I presume you would agree, they could make an inventory search because they've got to protect themselves against claims that they lost property and so on. So there's no question that in that case, as you have argued it, they could make a full-blown search and certainly can use the dog. But if they choose not to arrest on the highway, they can't. My problem is, how can you say that there is a reasonable expectation of privacy in case number two if you admit that the police can search in case number one? How does that affect the reasonable expectation of privacy?
To me, once a person is told that he is not going to be under arrest, it changes the whole complexion of the case. I think it's a completely different scenario. We don't have an arrest. It doesn't matter.
Could the officer change his mind? I mean, he did say, I'm just going to give you a citation. And then he said, mind if I search your car? This is before the dog showed up. And suppose the person who'd been speeding said, yeah, I mind. Don't search my car. And then the police said, well, in that case, I'm going to arrest you.
It's a difficult question, but I have to look at what I think reasonableness is judged. I'm going to remember what those cases taught. I think what Knowles taught, that reasonableness is judged by what the police actually do as opposed to what they might have done.
Mr. Metzik, I assume that your answer to whether it's lawful to have a dog at a bus depot to sniff the bags of people who are coming off without stopping them, but just to have the dogs there, that's unlawful.
It depends.
For narcotics, not for bombs, not for any, just for narcotics. The police think, you know, a lot of narcotics goes on interstate buses. We're going to put a dog in the bus depot.
It's a little less problematic to me, Justice Scalia, than the type of stop I'm talking about here. It's a little less problematic. One, because it's a public place, and I think
is the road for me.
I know, but here I think there's a lesser expectation of privacy. Well, I don't even want to go that far. I have to answer your question. I think that submitting the luggage without any reasonable articulable suspicion,
right,
unlike the case –
right.
Unlike the case in place, yeah, that to me is still a search.
Okay. So that's what I think you should say.
And I am
saying that, but that isn't – or I'll be back. I take it you don't
– Sorry it took me so long.
Is there anything wrong with the policeman himself taking a sniff?
Goes back
it's to the great record. Limburger cheese robbery. They stop the car and he walks around. Anything wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong if he can detect Limburger cheese. That, to me, is like plain smell.
All right.
As awful as it might be.
All right. So what you're saying is, and this must tie back to reasonable expectation of privacy, all right, because it's okay for the policeman to do it, and it's okay for dogs to do it in the bus station, and it's okay to use a dog not in the bus station with a car if, in fact, you actually are going to put him under arrest. Although here you had probable cause to do so, I take it, and now you have to draw a pretty fine line. But it's not okay where it's not the bus station, but it is the car, and in fact the dog is doing the sniffing, and there are a lot of dogs around that can sniff. And you did have probable cause, but you didn't say it. And in face of Justice O'Connor's case, which said that I'm not saying you couldn't draw that line. But I'm saying it's pretty tough, I think.
I guess you're telling me I'm the underdog in this case.
Yes, well, I don't know. I'm right. Am I? You're going to draw the – I don't want you to repeat yourself necessarily.
No,
but you had already drawn the line at a different place than Justice Breyer suggested, because in response to Justice Scalia, you said if it were going into the bus terminal just to sniff for narcotics, unlike explosives, it would be an impermissible search.
Yes, correct, Justice. That is correct, Justice Ginsburg. What makes this particular
why don't you simply say, look, have a very simple line. If they can arrest, they can sniff. If they can't arrest, they can't sniff without individualized suspicion going to drugs or whatever.
I would agree with that if I use an at, if you're referring to an at-water type scenario. If they have probable, if they decide to arrest, even though it's on a minor traffic case, such as at-water, which was a seatbelt, as long as it's, if it's minor and if the officer elects to choose to do a full-blown arrest, then all the consequences that follow from that arrest are going to happen. Excuse me. It's going to happen.
But what is the answer to the reasonable expectation of privacy question in that case? Isn't your expectation of privacy identical, whatever it may be, or isn't the reasonable expectation of privacy identical, whatever that may be, without regard to the discretionary decision of the officer to arrest or not?
I think that when the officer does a full-blown arrest, as was envisioned in Atwater, you know that you, the person knows that he or she does not have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
But you're saying that the reasonable expectation of privacy depends upon the officer's discretionary judgment whether or not to arrest. Isn't that what you're saying?
Essentially, yes, because I think that the officer takes a physical action. It's just more than words. It's also his deeds. I think in Atwater, unlike Knowles, in that case, I think the officer did make an election, and there was a full-blown or a full-fledged arrest. And I think there your reasonable expectation of privacy does, in fact, go out the window. But this is so different. This was just a warning, period. It was nothing worse than a warning. What makes this stop so pernicious is that it takes place in front of the whole world. And it is accusatory, it is profoundly embarrassing, and it is humiliating to everyone on the street. So if a person is stopped and the officer just decides to stop you for a minor traffic offense, that's the worst part about this case. Just a minor traffic offense, really a frivolous offense, basically what any law-abiding citizen would happen to. It could happen to anyone. And as this court has said, even in Wren, there are so many multiple technical violations
I mean, I think it's worse if you're subjected to it without having committed any violation at all. Every time I travel abroad and come back into the country, customs officers have dogs, and they parade the dogs through the baggage terminal. Do I feel offended by that?
No, Justice Scalia. And
this isn't a public safety matter. They're not smelling for bombs. They're smuggling. They're smelling for contraband. And according to you, that is bad.
That in that situation, when you enter the country, and this court has said many times again, it's a border search. There's nothing that I can argue against a border search. It's the functional equivalent of the border. That is a border search. I bring luggage to the airport. In today's world, I have a lesser expectation of privacy. If I know I'm traveling abroad and coming into the United States, that's different. That's different than an airport.
Okay. A bus station is different, though.
Bus station here and inside the United States is different. I think I look at your airport hypothetical as being as dealing with a border. If it's not at a border, and I use your hypothetical, it's at O'Hare Airport or Reagan International Airport, and they bring a dog up to sniff for drugs at the carousel, that to me is a search. It's like I think you said in one opinion once, if it used a duck analogy. Well, if it walks like a duck or quacks like a duck, here it's still a search. It walks like a duck. Dog and it acts like a dog, but its specific function is, in fact, to search out in public and humiliate people. If there are any further questions, I respectfully ask this honorable court to affirm the wise judgment of the Illinois Supreme Court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Metchik. General Madigan, you have, I think, about 3 minutes left.
Thank you, Justice Stevens. Let me make three brief points. Number one, Justice Ginsburg asked a question about something that was in a respondent's brief, whether or not it made a difference if a dog was with Master Sergeant Gillette when he initiated the stop or if a dog was later brought, as was the case here, by Trooper Graham. Really what Mr. Cabales is arguing for here is an inadvertence requirement, which this court very clearly held in Horton. There is no such requirement of inadvertence. And so a law officer, if they are at a lawful vantage point, do have the ability to detect incriminating facts That is not something that has to occur inadvertently. It can happen intentionally. Second, Justice Scalia asked a question about plain view. And similar to plain view, a dog sniff does not affect an incremental search or seizure. And therefore, similar to plain view, a dog sniff does not require Fourth Amendment justification. And let me finally acknowledge something that Justice Souter brought up, which is whether or not by walking a dog around a house, you in fact would have a search. Let me acknowledge that is certainly a closer case than whether walking a dog around a car constitutes a search, which we say is not. But ultimately, you would reach a similar result because the principle is not going to extend to cars in the same manner in Kylo as the thermal imager did. Finally, if there are no further questions, we would ask that the judgment of the Illinois Supreme Court be reversed.
Thank you, General Madigan. The case is submitted.
Thank you.